Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally L. Courtney, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, I have a very distinguished gentleman coming on all the way from India to speak about truth, justice, and Dr. Leo Ravello. That's the name of the show, Truth, Justice, and Dr. Leo Ravello. But he has a lot to say, and I quite frankly, I'm honored beyond words that a gentleman of this caliber would be joining me today, and I would like to thank Cynthia Maurer for recommending that he come on my program. Okay, so let me give you all of, as many qualifications as I can fit into the intro, okay, because he's very, very interesting gentleman. Okay, Dr. Leo Ravello, director of the Natural Health Center, Bombay, has written 45 books, delivered lectures in 65 countries, and trained and treated over a million people with traditional and natural medicine. He is also the World Peace Ambassador Award winner and was People's Popular Presidential Candidate in 2012 in the Indian presidential election. He will tell you about the positions that he is being considered for currently. I will let him tell you about that. Also very interesting and very, very important. Okay, let me ask Dr. Leo Ravello to greet everyone.
Namaste from Bombay, India. The word namaste means I bow to the divinity within you. Each one of us is divine. And each one of us possible of achieving greater height. However, we don't realize our own importance. We don't realize that the God is within us and it is possible to overcome the devil. So namaste.
Namaste to you too, Dr. Ravello. You were just telling me about two positions that you are being considered for. These are very important positions. Would you like to lay this out for the people who are listening?
Yes, my pleasure. In fact, not two, but three positions. One is the governor of any state of India. This is a very important position, and this will pave the way for my next election as the President of India in 2017. The second position, which is next to my heart, is the judge of the Human Rights Court. Now, human rights courts are in India at the state level, and my name has already been shortlisted for appointment in Bombay. And also it has gone for all India level, that is National Human Rights Commission. Now, if that happens, I will be based in Delhi. And if I am based in Delhi, then my place will be in entire India. If I am based in Bombay, then my jurisdiction will be only level to the Maharashtra state. Bombay is the capital of Maharashtra state. And the third position I am being considered is as a Lokpal, the first Lokpal. Because corruption in India has reached nadir, and we can remove the politicians during the elections every 5 years. But the IAS officer, one corrupt IAS officer, one corrupt high judge, this is on our head for 30 to 35 years. And removing bureaucrats and removing judges is very difficult. They are more powerful than the politicians. So now a new bill has come called Lokpal Bill, and my name has been recommended. Let's hope that this position comes to me, because then I will be able to clean up the obvious table of corruption in India. Because our country is very, very rich country, but because of corruption, because of communalism, because of casteism, because of criminalization in politics, we have been lagging behind. So let's see, whichever comes first, I will take it up.
Well, I particularly like the Anti-Corruption Ombudsman, which you just gave a different title to. Would you say that title again?
Lokpal.
Okay. Well, this should now are they having a law to create this position?
Yes, they have already created the law, and now we are at the level of implementing it. And Lokpal can also house the Prime Minister of India, Cabinet Ministers, Supreme Court judges, High Court judges, secretary level people, everybody. So this ombudsman is not an ordinary ombudsman, but a very powerful figure. And there will be 7 or 8 of us, including retired Supreme Court judges at the level of the Supreme Court of India judges.
This is a law that I would love to see, because this needs to be instituted in all countries. This is a very important position, and wouldn't this be delightful to know that somebody of the highest ilk were to make these assessments, you know, because our Supreme Court is basically, when it comes to vaccines, we couldn't have a more unjust system for all of these damaged children. And
I have kept one public interest litigation or writ petition ready for putting it up in the Supreme Court of India. But I have got to weigh the pros and cons, because the pharmaceutical lobby is very strong. They can buy over even the Supreme Court judges. They can curse me. They can even try to kill me. They made an attempt to buy me over as the AIDS expert, but I did not care a damn about it. So then they stopped calling me for their conferences on AIDS. I started addressing AIDS Conferences International from Durban in 2000. And my book, AIDS and Alternative Medicine, is the official textbook for capacity building workshop. And KLM, when I traveled to Toronto in 2000, sorry, 2006, I think, they deliberately made the books disappear. Now, when I put a case on them, they grabbed the consumer court. But now I have taken that case at the highest level. And I will see to it that the KLM is punished for its deliberate mischief. So the pharmaceutical lobby can do and undo anything with their money and muscle power.
Well, the fact that they would even institute a law that would call for someone who is, you know, can get rid of people who are corrupt, this is a huge step in the right direction. I can't even imagine what legislator I would give this law to sponsor. I can't think of who might actually sponsor it.
If you do the Google search into Indian Parliament laws, you will get hold of a law in its pristine form, including how it has been put through. We fought for it for almost 30 years for this particular law.
Wow. So you've been fighting for this law for 30 years. Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So if you sort of Google search it, you will get their act, and you can download that act and give it to your legislator or a good public interest person or lawyer, and then it can be made applicable even in America, UK, European Union, elsewhere, and we can spearhead that movement.
Yes. Well, wonderful. Okay, now I know that you have written 45 books. I, of course, try to educate people about vaccines. If you would like to say something to our audience with regard to that, I'd be very interested to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'm totally against vaccines. I had taken, when I was a child, I had taken only one vaccine, and pockmark is still there on my left arm. And of course, I had no choice because I was a child. Like you have no choice, you are automatically made into a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu, depending on in which religion you are born, your parents are. You automatically get labeled. Similarly, the ignorant parents take their children without knowledge and they get their children cured. So in our childhood, we had only one vaccine I had taken. But today, right from the womb, till the child turns into 2 years old, there are 30 to 50 vaccines are given. And you can imagine what havoc it must be playing on the tiny child's body. I call it raping. Now when a woman is raped, we make so much hoo-ha over it. But when a tiny child is raped and the mother becomes the rapist and the pediatrician becomes the rapist and then they are protected because there is what is known as shaken baby syndrome, then the parents who give consent on absolutely no information are then penalized.
Well, thank you. Since you may be in a position of power, great power, the thing I'd like to see here is that for every shaken baby syndrome case, that the judge is required to commandeer the vaccination records of that child. Vaccines are not even allowed to be brought into the conversation. That should be the first thing. Because I am to understand there is no case of shaken baby syndrome in an unvaccinated child.
Very true. Very true. You said it. Hello?
Well, yes, I'm right here. I'm just thinking, okay, well, so this is a double crime, needless to say. And I've interviewed a couple wherein both parents may be in jail currently. I interviewed them the day before their hearing, and what I am finding is that it is not just an issue of who is going to be held responsible, but it is on the fact that the child's organs are wanted by the hospital.
Understand. Are you aware of the ingredients of the vaccine?
Yes, but please share it with our audience.
Yeah. First and foremost, let me recap what are dangerous or lethal ingredients of vaccine. Not many parents, not even pediatricians know about it. Live bacteria, dextrose, triton is a detergent, then sodium, then human fecal tissue, various antibiotics, various preservatives, various sweeteners, monosodium glutamate, mercury, cholesterol, virocell, that is African monkey kidney cells, and HIV. Now these are the various pluses which are put into the vaccine. And such a little concoction you are injecting into the tiny tot. Not one, not two, but 20, 30, 40. Now, it is usually said that the vaccines will help build your immunity. Now, that is the biggest con or biggest lie ever made by the doctor. The vaccine which ostensibly given to protect your child are the very vaccines which create those diseases and many other diseases. Now that is a fact. And this fact, even though there is a monumental evidence as high as the Himalayas, this is not considered. And the so-called evidence-based medicine is the biggest con ever because there is absolutely no evidence to show that the vaccines build immunity. On the contrary, vaccines are playing a involved with the Chinese. In fact, I wrote in 2003 a comprehensive revised oath for doctors, because the oath written by Hippocrates has become outdated, number one. Number two, Hippocratic oath is given only once when a doctor graduates from a medical school, and then it is forgotten. But my oath is given every year on 1st July, which is a World Doctors' Day. Now, I will read out to you this revised oath for doctors. It will be very well appreciated and very well taken by your listeners. And I'm sure your listeners are as intelligent or wise as you are, and as strong and as free and fearless and fair in their approach to their children. Because at stake is the future of our children. The entire humanity is being eliminated through vaccine, through statins, chemotherapy, through antibiotics. The word antibiotic itself warns you that it is anti-life. But you are taking antibiotics like chocolate. Even chocolates taken in excess are harmful. You can imagine how harmful when you make a meal out of antibiotics or carcinogen. What is this nonsense going on? That you give carcinogen, chemotherapy is carcinogenic. And that is your official medicine. If you refuse to take chemotherapy, you can be put behind bars. Your child or your partner or whatever can be separated in a so-called jail hospital. Without your consent, treatment can be given. And that's it. This is the kind of treatment. My health is my concern. Why the state is interfering in my health? That is a basic question which nobody is asking. Who is the state to interfere and say, this is the official medicine and traditional and natural medicine cannot be taken? Can the state tell you, ask you what to eat and what not to eat? Hello?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can the state ask you, suppose you are a Hindu and you are a vegetarian? Can the American state say that now that you are in America, you have to eat our pork, our red meat, our tuna fish, everything else, because you have a protein requirement? But the state is ignorant because more protein is there in sprouts, in other things, in soya, etc. Why are you making it compulsory that animal protein should be eaten? Like you have diseases, even animals have diseases. And animals have got different genetic codes. So imagine what you do. First and foremost, you kill those animals. Those animals have got diseases. Then you gorge over them, eat the livestock, and look at what has happened to the bodies of the Americans. One third, maybe one half now almost, Americans are obese. And they are not troubled. I have visited America 3 times. And very few people are troubled in America. Bodily, mentally, and spiritually. They have got to change our system. So let me come back to revised oath for doctors, which I wrote in 2003. Listen to this and also give yourself this oath. Repeat after me. I, Sally L. Cordy, do hereby swear on this solemn day that I shall not prescribe unnecessary medicines and tests to my patients. I shall not give false counseling. I shall not overcharge and accept cuts and gifts. I shall not raise tiny tots with closely related inoculations or vaccinations, for they pollute the bloodstream of small children, leading to serious diseases like AIDS, cancer, autism. I shall not prescribe lethal drugs like antiretroviral chemotherapy or give electroconvulsive therapy to my patients. I shall not indulge in human organ theft to the detriment of my patients. I shall not be afraid of any authority and fabricate medical records or give false evidence. I shall not exploit students studying under me. I shall not manipulate findings or results to win grants or awards. I, Stanley F. Corday, also solemnly affirm that if I cannot treat a disease, I shall not say that AIDS, cancer, diabetes has no cure, but will tell the patient to try other systems of medicine. I shall treat health practitioners of other systems with respect and not tell deliberate lies to prove my importance. I shall study holistic healing modalities to increase my knowledge and wisdom. I shall not even by mistake say that HIV equals to AIDS, equals to death, or cancer cannot be treated. I shall not frighten my patients with unnecessary comments, opinions, or advice. I still remember what Hippocrates said, namely, let diet be your medicine, and shall accordingly prescribe fresh fruits, vegetables, and good diet to my patients rather than tonic, syrup, synthetic multivitamins, especially to children. I shall not perform surgery because 95% surgery is unnecessary unless it is absolutely must. I will not indulge in brackets like amniocentesis, cesarean section, silicone implants, or liposuction. I shall work to ban the useless and cruel animal experiments in the name of medicine. I shall participate in periodic workshops, seminars, and conferences at my expense or on scholarship, no pharma funding, to educate myself and speak from my conscience if I am called upon to speak or preside. Finally, I shall not consume alcohol, smoke tobacco, or take other narcotic and psychotropic substances. As far as possible, I shall also not take animal protein. I realize and aware that a great responsibility of people's well-being is upon my shoulders, and I shall carry on my onerous task with utmost dedication. This I swear, in the name of God, on this solemn Doctor's Day, 1st July, and I shall repeat this oath daily, lest I forget that I am in a divine profession to heal the world. Amen.
Beautiful.
How is that?
That is very thorough. That is an extremely thorough document, and I see that you addressed organs within this, so your timing was perfect in terms of what we're discussing. The medical profession may be incarcerating parents so that they can get the organs of their children. Well, thank you very much. That is very impressive. I really would love that to be the Hippocratic Oath, and to recite it daily is a very good idea.
If you type me here on your email, I will send you this article, this oath rather, plus I will send you what I wrote. World Health Agenda, I wrote in 2004. And for your information, I sent it to Obama, and Obama sent me some kind of medal and some kind of certificate. I care to oath about such recognition. But what is important is that the World Health Agenda, which I wrote in 2004, further describes what we need to do and how we need to carry on our movement. Because most of the people, whether in America or in India or in the European Union or in UK, do not know or do not have a comprehensive picture of health. They always work in fragments, fragmented approach rather than total approach. Now, if you allow me to read my health agenda.
Yes. What I would ask of you is if you have a section on immunization, prevention and immunization, that I would start with that in case we run out of time.
Okay.
Let me just ask you, how long is the agenda? How long will it take to read the entire agenda?
To read the entire agenda will just take more than 10 minutes unless and until you ask me questions.
Oh, okay. Oh, fine. Then read the entire agenda.
Okay. So this is a World Health Agenda. World, not Indian agenda, not American agenda, but World Health Agenda. Which I sent it to even WHO. But WHO has become a whore of the pharma mafia. It is no more a World Health Organization. It is a World Pharma Organization. So let me read this World Health Agenda which I prepared on 25th October 2004. And ever since, it has been read by millions of people on various groups, Facebook, everywhere. Thereby, I propose that since World Health Organization has become useless, let us replace it with World Holistic Health Organization with following broad aims. A. To stop fluoridation and chlorination of drinking water. B. To stop genetically modified food, stop adding toxic colors or aspartame or any additives which do immense harm to our health. C. To stop cancer treatment based on radiation, chemotherapy and surgery. D. To stop grotesque compulsory vaccinations which play havoc with human bodies. E. To stop force feeding of lethal antiretroviral drugs to AIDS patients and other so-called life-saving drugs to patients based on bogus trials and business motives. F. To stop population control programs of all kinds and also chemtrails. G. To stop quarantine laws based on havoc principles and creating false alarms like SARS. To recognize the right to health and right to medicine of one's choice. Right to health being akin to right to life. We do not need CDC, we do not need FDA, we do not need WHO to tinker with our lives. I. Consequently, the right to propagate all systems of medicine. J. Government of the world must not discriminate or organize against traditional and natural medicine, which 80% people of the world still follow. K. Centers of disease control, which are nothing but the extension of sinister population control program of the CIA, must be abolished forthwith. L. Citizens refusing due to their informed, inherent, or religious belief, chemical medicine must not be victimized. Their children who are old should not be snatched away from them, and they should not be allowed to be persecuted or prosecuted. Universities, colleges must be encouraged to teach, like in India, all systems of medicine. For your information, in India, we have 7 recognized systems of medicine. I'll come to that later when you ask me. And all government and municipal hospitals must have all systems of medicine. Like people have the right to food. Hello?
Yes, we will be interrupted for a little while, so why don't we wait, hold right there, because we're getting a countdown to the half hour, and then it will proceed 15 minutes after that. So the seven different health systems, however, sound very interesting. Could you take this time possibly to speak about that?
Yeah. Seven recognized systems of medicine. One is allopathic, that is modern medicine, or so-called evidence-based medicine without any evidence. Second is Ayurveda, which is 5,000 years old. Third is nature cure and yoga therapy. Fourth is Siddha. Siddha is a Tamilian medicine, which is original to India. Then there is what is known as Tibetan medicine. Then there is what is known as Arabic medicine. And, of course, we have got acupuncture, which is a Chinese medicine. And then there is, of course, homeopathy, which is very popular in India.
What was the last one?
Homeopathy.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, homeopathy. Now, I can briefly tell you the salient features of each one of these systems of medicine, and so that people know what they represent. In holistic healing modalities, except allopathy, all other systems of medicine are known as holistic. Holistic means total. Total means body, mind, and spirit. We do not treat one organ or one disease in a patient. Remember that first. We do not, underline the word, treat one disease or one organ. If Sally comes to me, Sally will be having possibly, she may come to me, let us say, for her diabetes, let us say, or for her obesity, or for her high blood pressure. But when I diagnose Sally, I will diagnose at least 20 to 30 diseases in Sally. Namely, acidity, gases, bloating, obesity, fear, various kinds, sleeplessness, gases, spite, so many. Now, I won't give her 10 or 20 different medicines, or I won't send her to 10 or 20 different so-called specialists. I call this specialist one organ, one disease specialist. Each one of them gives more and more drugs and make a mess of Sally's body, mind, and spirit. So I will take Sally's case history and then I will give her one medicine. Let us say I may give to Sally one medicine called Nux Vomica. Now Nux Vomica in allopathy is a poison, but Nux Vomica in homeopathy is a miraculous drug. Because there is no drug in it. It is the released energy of that drug which works on subtle level. So, allopathic Nux Vomica will kill Sally because it is injected. Whereas homeopathic Nux Vomica will give Sally very good sleep. If Sally is constipated, her constipation will be over. If Sally is suffering from acidity, her acidity will be over. If Sally is alcoholic or she takes tobacco, her tobacco addiction and alcoholism will be over. If Sally has got liver problems, her liver will be better. If Sally has got piles and gases, that will be over. If Sally is not getting good sleep, she will get good sleep. So can you imagine one homeopathy remedy, I won't use the word drug, one homeopathic remedy, has got so many miraculous treatments.
Well, can I ask you what it is, if there's one?
It is called Nux Vomica.
Yes, I hear Nux Vomica.
N-U-X-V-O-M-I-C-A.
Well, perhaps you will write that and send that to me along with the name of the bill that was proposed, the anti-corruption bill, because these are two things.
Nux Vomica, I have written it for you in the message.
Fine.
Facebook.
Yes, thank you.
There it is, in front of you, Nux Vomica.
Well, I will put that underneath in the comment area underneath the radio show so people can see it. And if you will send me the name of the bill, then I will also put that under.
The bill is called Lokpal Bill.
And you're typing that in. You're typing it in. Thank you very much. Because these are, I always go back after the show and add to the comment area everything we discussed. So what you are reading, your World Health
agenda,
we will have to add that to the comment area so everyone can read it and propose it in their own country.
No, let me continue with from N onward, because now very little is there. All government and municipal hospitals must have all systems of medicine. Like people have the right to choose what they wish to eat or drink, they should also have the right to choose the treatment of their choice. Mediclaim, which is a racket in your country, Mediclaim and research grants should be given equally to all systems of medicine. For example, allopathy says that you have got to live with diabetes. You have got to live with asthma, cancer, AIDS, etc. But in holistic healing modalities, we don't think so. Research actually means researching the old wisdom, not reinventing the wheel. And Mediclaim is to make medicines and medical services affordable to all, not for profit. Likewise, grants should be made available to develop homeo, urine, and veggie vaccines. Did you hear about this? Homeo vaccines are one need not read the conclusions of double-blind, randomized, controlled clinical trials to know that massage works, that hydrotherapy is miraculous, that the colon cleans, liver and kidney floods are life-saving, that yoga helps, that fruits, vegetables and herbs are God-given, and nature cure is the ultimate healing modality. Or, may it be noted that the present health delivery system is costly, urban-based, technology-oriented, heavily curative in its approach, dependency-creating, and a massive fraud. Unless it is community-based, community-oriented, cheap, health-restoring, without side effects, nothing is going to change. Healthcare is self-care. One need not take prescription from moron medics before eating, sleeping, walking, talking, or before having sex. E. Can the state by law make a Muslim eat pig or a Hindu eat cow meat? Can the state by law ask a Muslim to pray in a church or vice versa? Then what right has the government of the world got to force on us and our children? Illegal drugs. How can the state destroy 5,000 years old perfect health science like Ayurveda or age-old wisdom of natural healing? You, at the same time, that lawmakers should be made to realize that under the WTO gag regime, some low-ranking officials decide and make laws based on considerations other than human welfare, and consequently such actions militate against the very tenets of good governance or democracy or against the sovereignty of the nation or self-determination. B. Does health mean taking synthetic vitamins or micronutrients or food supplements or fats like decaffeinated coffee, sugarless sugar, tobacco-less cigarettes, salt-less salt, diet coke, slim butter, etc.? W. By gorging on dead and diseased meat mixed with hormones, genetically modified food, mixed with deadly pesticides and drinking dead radiated water from plastic bottles or aspartame-laced drinks, can we have vibrant health? X. By eating stale food stored in the refrigerator, by eating microwave food or junk food and more antibiotics rather than probiotics, can one have sound health? Why? Like I am proud of my language, culture, religion, etc., my health is my concern. Last line, dead. Zero tolerance to messing up with our health. Fight for health freedom. Over. How is it?
That is very impressive. You've certainly given a lot of thought to all the things that you've written, and all I can say is we do well to follow them. You said that you were going to get back to an issue that you had brought up regarding, you know, I kind of was listening to the rest of it, so I lost my way in terms of what I wanted to pick up on. You had left off and said you wanted to talk about later.
Yeah. Now, you Westerners and many in India too, the so-called foreign educated parents, they know only one type of vaccine, namely the allopathic vaccine. But have you heard of homeo vaccine, by the way?
Never.
Never. Have you heard of urine vaccine?
No, never.
Have you heard of blood vaccine which you yourself can prepare?
No, I have not.
Have you heard of veggie vaccines?
Veggie? No.
Okay. Now,
before you embark on that, though, I presume that whatever it is you're referring to is shot into the bloodstream the way vaccines are shot into the bloodstream.
No, they are not.
Ah.
Our vaccines are not given through blood.
That's great.
They are given
how?
Orally.
Orally, okay.
Yeah, sublingual, under the tongue.
So,
no.
Yes, so they're pills or they're...
Pills, they can be dropped. If they are dropped, they are put under the tongue or I usually give it in warm water.
So,
one tablespoon of warm water, I will put about four, that vaccine.
Ah.
That's
Well, that's very interesting. So you give high potency vegetables or what other ingredients?
First, let me go one by one.
Okay.
First, I'm coming to homeopathic vaccine. Now, homeopathic vaccines are called Nosor in homeopathy. Okay? Now, for AIDS, we have got cyclosporin, medorinum, cipillinum, suja, or potentized blood of a confirmed AIDS patient. Can you imagine that? We already have got vaccine, but in allopathy, they don't have vaccine. For cancer, we have got carcinosis. In allopathy, there is no cancer vaccine so far after almost more than 50 years of so-called research. For chickenpox, we have got melandrinum and variolinum. For diphtheria, we have got diphtherinum or mercurial cyanosis. For infective hepatitis, we have got Nux vomica. For influenza, we have got arsenic album or influenzinum. For rubella or measles, we have got Pulsatilla or morbillinum. For mumps, we have got Pycocarpus. For polio, we have got polionocid or lepidus. For smallpox, we have got variolinum. For tuberculosis, we have got bacillinum or tuberculinum. For typhoid, we have got Baptisia or arsenic alb. Or pertussis, we have got Drosera or pertussis. Tell me, did you hear this for the first time or not?
This is the very first time I'm hearing it. I, however, do not recognize any of the ingredients that you're stating except for arsenic.
Yeah. These are all homeopathic remedies.
Okay, and they are composed of what?
Homeopathy, and I'll have to tell you, homeopathic medicine come from minerals, from vegetable kingdom, from blood products, from so many other things. Including pus.
I have a question also with regard to the current vaccines. For example, if you cannot eat cow meat, they have bovine serum in the vaccines currently. I know in the swine flu vaccine, there are pig parts. People are not allowed to eat these foods, and yet we are injecting them directly into their bloodstream. So this violates every tenet of what they believe in. Am I correct?
You are absolutely right in your surmise. And let me tell you that I am the Vice President of International League of Doctors Against Vivisection. Now, vivisection means animal experiment in the medical laboratory, where they experiment on nude animals, they torture them, they kill them, they mutilate them, they put all kinds of chemicals in their eyes to find out whether they are safer for your eyes, whether they are safer for your skin. And such drugs which are tested on the nude animals are then prescribed to human beings. And sometimes they even experiment on poor people from Africa and Asia, some of the experimental drugs. And that is the record that we are having. So we don't believe, and we do not practice, or we do not test any drugs in our natural medicine on animals. We test on ourselves.
Right.
We prove it on our body.
Well, in the United States, we test on the babies.
That is wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong. Absolutely gross. It is gross, in fact, to test on babies.